Good evening and welcome along to Clare FM's Sideline View. It's Derek Lynch with you until 7 o'clock this evening. Coming up, we'll look ahead to the opening weekend of 2022 for the Clare Hurlers as Waterford make the trip to Cusick Park for the Munster Hurling Cup semi-final. It's a big weekend too for Curraghfinn as they contest the Munster Club Intermediate Football Final. We've also got soccer and greyhound racing on the card as well, and plenty more to come too over the course of the next hour. First up on the agenda though this evening, it's football as Curraghfinn prepare to take on Nigel in the Munster Club Intermediate Football Final on Sunday afternoon. Following their dramatic win over Kildysert in the county final, Doug Hurley's charges have built on that momentum with victory over Kildymo Palaskinry and Newmarket en route to the decider. Standing in their way are the formidable challenge of the Kerry champions, who will have county seniors in the form of Jack Barry, Dermot O'Connor and Stephen Akunbar. Curraghfinn manager Doug Hurley has been telling me that everyone is looking forward to being involved in a provincial final.
16th of January, we're really looking forward to it. We had Christmas, we had nearly 4 weeks since the last game, and we won a 21A with Rouen, the hurling, which was a great lift as well to keep the show on the road. I suppose the more than half the country we were affected through this COVID as well. A number of players got it, but maybe it was the right time to get it. But we've had 2 good weeks again of getting back on the road, and really looking forward to now, Derek. Yeah,
I suppose that's a major concern for a lot of managements. We've seen it even at inter-county level that squads can change within a couple of hours. So I suppose that's another tax on an already big manager list for you to do.
It is. We just listen, as you say, no more than any manager at the moment. It's an issue. We have to deal with it and we have to move on. I suppose we could be told at any stage, maybe, I suppose, half the panel would have got at this stage, the other half haven't. So that's what you're in fear of, maybe in the next week, that you might have to change your tactics at any minute. But we have a big squad and we'll be ready for it, yeah.
You have to be so pleased, Doug, with what your squad have achieved so far this year. They've answered every single question that's been asked of them.
They have, I suppose, going right back, I suppose, go back to our county final where we were really in trouble and we dug it out. And I think that has stood to us since, because even here in the first round of the Munster, we were in trouble at one stage. I suppose a pint down and a man down 15 minutes ago. We answered all the questions that day, and even below Mallow, the last inning, there was a point there in the second half. We went 3 points down, and even before they had the man sent off, we hit it back to 10-9, I think. So they really drove home after that. So they seem to be getting better with their football. Our conversion rate needs to improve, but as regards we're creating chances, and that's. We're the type of attacking team. We're an attacking team. You know, I wouldn't have thought this winter football would have suited us, but with the 2 days we've had, they were like summer days, and hopefully we get reasonable conditions in Mallow again the next day, Derek.
When you came in as manager, you were obviously aware then or hopeful that the potential you see now was in this group.
Yes, I suppose I've been involved, I suppose, with a lot of these lads going right back to. We won a 15A final here with them and lost the 16A final, lost the minor final, lost the minor B final. So I've had a lot of them, you know, I suppose there's a good 15 of the squad under 21. Like, so they're young, and yes, definitely the potential is there, and it could be the right time, hopefully, for them to be going senior. What happens with this is a bonus, but now that we're there, we'll be very, very sore and sorry if we don't come away with a Munster medal next week.
And with that in the back of the head, then you'll be fairly confident that you've leaders within that group on the field that will recognise, you know, that opportunity. It's quite a young team, but they've got some amount of experience packed into their careers already.
Without a doubt, I say they've won. There's a number of those who have won minor A hurling medals, under 21 A hurling medals now. So they are young, but they've been competing at a top level. I say, you know, a lot of them played under 14 A football finals. So, you know, I don't think this will faze them. The last day, there's lads with Harty medals there. There's lads with Clare experience. So, though we're young, I mean, anytime we've got in trouble, there's different leaders come out. Say, various stages. You had Damien Lachlan took it by the scruff of the neck in the county final. We've our captain Fionn, but we've other lads that'll step up into it. Even Garrod Cahill, he's a young man, but I think even you said it to him himself, he's an old head on young shoulders. So yeah, no, fantastic experience and depth within the squad.
Just finally, for Curraghfinn as a club, I mean, it's just another step on what seems to be a real resurgence, building on the recent success and hopefully taking to that next level.
I suppose we've had 4 or 5 years of very good quality players who are playing at county level, both hurling and football. So we just need, and it, that is going to be a big call, the fact that we're dual and trying to compete at both levels. So it's just how we'll manage them and manage the players. But I suppose it's a great complaint to have, and I suppose a lot of clubs would love to have it, and hopefully we'll manage it right now in the coming years. Yeah.
Cara Finn boss Doug Hurley there. Well, leading them out on the day will be the man who lifted the Talty Cup in Cusick Park a few short months ago. Fionn Clancy is part of a proud tradition in Cara Finn, with his father Seamus and Uncle Cullum being Munster Championship winners in 1992. He told me the atmosphere around the parish has been brilliant over the last few weeks.
Good boys around the village, even some people outside of the normal GA crowd and that, so talking to a lot of people who are going to go down to Mallow at the weekend, so we're looking forward to getting that support.
Was it difficult to manage the Christmas period knowing that this was in the back of the head?
It wasn't, in fairness. I think most lads kept their head down. We did have a night, the 27th, all right, we were all out, but other than that, I think lads kept a fairly calm Christmas, so we knew we'd bigger fish to fry.
I suppose that's a testament to the mentality within this group, that you think that, you know, you're not just content with being in a Munster final, you want to go there and compete.
No, certainly not. We're a very competitive bunch, you see here in the training today. It gets intense, and we're trying to get the most out of each other all the time, so that just continued on through to Christmas and hopefully the next day as well.
How much of that is driven by the management?
At the start, I think the management had a lot to do with it, but I think it's very player-driven now. They keep us on our toes, no doubt, but I think it's 50-50, I suppose, between management and players. We all keep things sharp and keep each other sharp.
And that momentum that you've gone on this year, I mean, still unbeaten, putting up big scores and really powering into games.
Certainly, yeah. Once we got over the final, we haven't looked back. Things were looking ropey enough that day, but that gave us huge confidence, and we're just building on it, trying to cut out mistakes, trying to manage games better the whole time. So I think we're still improving, and we still have a lot to improve. So
when people mention the Clancy name in Cara Finn football, everybody knows what you're talking about. How much of that did you grow up being aware of?
I was a bit young at the time. I probably wasn't even born. I was born that year later on, but look, I grew up watching all my uncles play, my father play. If think back to 2006, Cara Finn were in a Munster final that year as well against Ardfort. Three of my uncles were playing, my first cousin was playing, so maybe we'll right that wrong the next day, so we'll see. But yeah, it's I'm hugely, hugely proud to be part of it.
And that tradition, I suppose, it was always written in the stars that you were going to be a Cara Finn player. I mean, the Cara Finn captain must be extra special as well.
It was a bit of a surprise when I got it. Just got it before the final. We'd been sharing it around, so it made it extra special. But look, there's probably 10 lads out there who could do it. So I'm just honoured to be named captain for the time being, anyways.
How much advice gets given out then at the kitchen table, or is it a case of keep the head down?
When we were younger, we probably got a lot more advice, but we don't get a huge amount now. But I'd say it's all positive stuff anyway. From now, we get a clap on the back afterwards, and that's about it for now, anyways.
Heading down now to take on Kerry opposition, we know their record as a county in this competition. So I suppose you know the task that lies ahead.
Yeah, look, we're focusing on our own performance. Really, we haven't talked too much about them now, to be honest. No matter who you're going to be playing in the Munster final, they're going to be good, wherever they're from and whoever they think they are. So we're focused on ourselves.
And just finally, for the community here in Cara Finn, I mean, coming in from the Milltown Malbay side this morning, you can see on the bridge there the hurleys and footballs are out, the flags are all out, the colouring is there, and we saw the crowd you brought the last day to the semi-finals. So that all means quite a bit to this group, I'd imagine.
It certainly does, yeah. Them flags are up now with a few months. Their meaning still hasn't worn off. It's great to see them. It's quite windy these days, so they're at full flight. They're all out. If you go out to Kinlaby Road, they're all out in Kinlaby as well. So, and I think on the way in tennis, there's red and white flags as well, but I don't know. They mightn't be for us.
It's Cara Finn captain Fionn Clancy there. It'll be a busy morning, meanwhile, in the Cahill household on Sunday as Diarmuid and Garrod prepare for their first Munster Club final. The brothers have been key players in their run to the decider, with Diarmuid's late goal against Newmarket finally putting that tide to bed. The older sibling Garrod says the buy-in from the whole community is a real source of inspiration for players and management ahead of Sunday's game.
You're going up the shop, up the street, meeting people. I've been lucky enough to been subbing in both local primary schools now over the last couple of weeks because I've been off college, and to see the buzz around the kids in both schools has been one of the big pluses for me of the whole journey that we've been on as a team. Just to see the buzz that we've created around the community, seeing all the flags and everything. And, you know, that's great for us to see, but we'll have to park that now for the next week because it's about, I suppose, focusing on ourselves and focusing on making sure that we give a good account of ourselves and our team and our community and our county as well, obviously, for this Munster final. But, yeah, extremely looking forward to it now.
That's an element I've always wondered about. That it's a tight knit community. There's probably no avoiding the hype. Is it something that you use as a motivation, or is it something you try and stay away from as a distraction?
Yeah, I suppose I can only speak for myself, really. Before, I probably would have maybe preferred to be away from it, and you know, I might have felt a small bit of pressure. But I don't know. It's just this team in the last year, and the journey and the management, the way they've given us confidence. You look forward to having a chat with people about the games, and you know, you're meeting the local kids or whatever, and the way they're talking about when is the next match on and who we're playing, and it's just fantastic, and that gives you a bit of motivation too, that you're not only representing yourself and your own team, but you're representing people that are coming to support you all over Munster the way it is at the moment. But it's just been brilliant, and it's about enjoying that and bringing that in with you to go along with the training that you've done physically and your skills training and everything that we've done to get to this point. So yeah, it's been brilliant. Yeah.
When you started out under Dougie, I mean, was there ever goals set out? Was there ever anything in the back of the mind that signalled, do you know what, we can get to a Munster final?
Not really, Derek. I suppose for the simple reason that we got caught last year in the Intermediate Football Championship when we probably maybe expected ourselves to win that final, and obviously we knew what happened against Stour Barefield. So when Dougie came in at the start of the year, and we've been used to Dougie since we were 10 years of age, a lot of younger lads, he's always expected ourselves to give us a good account of ourselves, and the results then will follow. So it was always game by game. So we couldn't even look past the first game against Naomh Owen back in Coraclare last July, because it was always about putting in a performance with Dougie and making sure that we give a good account of ourselves, and then it's about building on that last performance, and we never get too high after a win or too low after a loss with Dougie. So he's been very good at managing the expectations of the group. But it'd be kind of remiss of me to say that after the county championship we didn't really rest on our laurels. Like, we wanted to go, and we knew that we were in a Munster championship, we knew that we've a special group of players here that are going to represent this club for a long time to come. But you know, it might be our only Munster championship campaign, so we want to give a good account of ourselves and our club and our county in this. So yeah, once we got into the Munster campaign, really you're always looking to take it game by game. But obviously we're in a Munster final now, and it's something that we're looking forward to. But you know, we have to really be on top of our game the next day now.
Seems to be a group, Garrod, that are playing with a great amount of self-belief, that even your dad was on commentary with us the last day and kept saying that, you know, if the lads get to the final water break, that there'll be a mental reset there and assess that there's 10, 12, 15 minutes left, whatever it'll be, and that you're still, you know, you're not going to be put to bed at that stage.
Yeah, I think, I suppose in the last couple of months now, a lot of us have been involved in two games that I'd say have been kind of a real turning point for this group of players. The county final being the main one, being down however many points with 7 minutes to go and coming back to win that game. I suppose as a group, we've kind of come in the last couple of years since I've been involved, we've maybe thrown in the towel, or maybe that we haven't come back at a team after going down by so much. So to really come in and win that county final because of sheer belief and resilience to win was something really special for this group. And then a couple of weeks after that, a lot of us were involved in an under-21 game below in O'Ganlow, where we were down something like 10 points to Scariff O'Ganlow at half-time. We came back to win it by a pint in the second half. So we're building resilience all the time now in the last couple of months, and that's been something that Dougie and Jeff have instilled in us and all our coaches up along. But I think we're realising now that the importance of that resilience and belief, and we need every ounce of it the next day as well.
Very finally, he's going to be joining us on commentary on Sunday afternoon, the elder statesman of the Cahill household. But what will the Cahill household be like on Sunday morning? Yourself and Dermot involved, obviously. A special morning, I'd imagine.
Yeah, we try not to get too nervous about things. You know, it's about, I suppose, enjoying it. Like, we enjoy it that we'll go down, and we've learned this year to go down in separate cars now, for fear of the post-match or the pre-match speech that we might get off Joe. But no, he's himself and Mam is the PRO of the club, like, and he's been involved in coaching for the last since we were born. So to have them kind of involved and involved in the club has been really special. But we'll just treat it as another game, like, and we'll focus on what he'll give us a few words beforehand of what we have to do well, and what we need to focus on, and then it's just going out and expressing ourselves and enjoying it. And the one thing about this team is that we like enjoying our football. We enjoy our football. We play. I think we play a good brand of football, and we're going out to express ourselves, you know, and that's the main thing, and give a good account of ourselves. But I think with 15 minutes to go, if we're still in this game, you know, we'll get great belief from that, like, and we'll hopefully go on and push on and win it then.
Cora Finn's Garo Cahill there. Delighted as well that their dad and Cora Finn legend Joe Cahill will be joining us on commentary for that game on Sunday, which comes in association with Nolan Loughlin Insurance Services. And we'll be live down in Mallow for that half one throw-in. Up next, Clare hurling boss Brian Lohan looks ahead to the 2022 season. Now, welcome back to Clare FM's Sideline View, where we turn our attentions to hurling, where tomorrow sees the official 2022 season get underway for Clare when Waterford come to Ennis for the Munster Hurling Cup semi-final. It's the first outing since that agonising qualifier loss to Cork back at the end of July, with Brian Lohan expecting to finalise his team for that game later this evening. It's expected to be a largely experimental side, with the likes of Shane Meehan, Mark Rogers, Keane Galvin and Paddy Donlan among those understood to be in contention for starting places. I've been speaking to the four-time All-Star fullback ahead of that game, beginning with the reaction to his appointment for a further three-year term in the hot seat.
With an appointment like that, there's an expectation there as well. Like, the expectation is that that the team moves forward and gets better, and we'll be trying to do that.
Yeah, your backroom team, is it unchanged from last year?
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, almost the same backroom team. A couple of changes here and there. A couple of changes on the medical side of things. Overall, it is mainly the same.
Yeah, good to have that continuity then, I suppose, for you to continue building on the work you've done.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah. And look, I suppose anyone who is involved in the setup, like, you know, you want to learn as much as you can. You want to develop as much expertise in the area that you're looking after. So that's, I suppose, it's a challenge for all of us, whether we're in management roles, or whether we're in specific strength and conditioning or coaching roles, or whatever it is. You want to try and develop the team for the benefit of the players, and develop your expertise for the benefit of the players as well.
Yeah, and I suppose that sense of you now being back in for the third year as it is this year, you know, you probably won't spend as much time now getting to know lads as you might. Okay, there'll be the new fellas in, obviously, but is there a sense now that you can kind of kick on a few steps down the road from that starting block?
Well, I suppose there is. Yeah, when you move into a role like this, there is a period of time where you're getting to know the systems, and you're getting to know the administration, and you're getting to know the players, obviously, as well. That is taken out of it now. We're well aware of what the players are capable of, and we're hoping to try and improve the players. And then, obviously, you know, unfortunately, we have to let guys go, and then there's opportunities for other guys. You know, we look at the championship matches, we look at the various competitions, including the college competitions, and if there's someone that is out there that is putting their hand up and they're driving forward and they're working hard, they're going to get called in, and that's what we've done this year.
Is there a couple of new faces then on the panel that people can look forward to?
Yeah, there is. Look, we brought in, I suppose, five new guys to the panel, with, you know, Mike Goff and Darren O'Brien, Patrick Crotty, Cian Broderick and Robin Moonsey, and then, you know, obviously Peter Duggan is back involved, and Bradley Higgins is back involved this year as well. So you know, there's seven, I suppose, new guys from last year that we wouldn't have worked with for the full year last year. But, you know, obviously Peter being very experienced, Bradley was in the panel last year, and he's back in the panel this year on the basis of his performances with Kilmaley. So look, yeah, we're looking forward to how these guys are developing, and they've certainly, all of them have started great with us.
Yeah, and on the debit side then, we know there's a couple of long-term injuries for your panel to deal with in the likes of Aidan and Tony Kelly as well. But I suppose it was interesting hearing Colin Collins speaking after the McGrath Cup game that he felt that inter-county squads in particular needed to build the depth because we're probably still not out of the COVID grip either. So important for you to have unearthed those fellas that you mentioned.
Oh yeah, look, it's I suppose the way the split season is now, you have you're going from the club championship, and you know all of the players are involved right up until the end of club championship, whether it be relegation, whether they're involved in our senior B or senior county finals. So the majority of your players are involved right up until the start of the inter-county season. The players need a bit of a break, and unfortunately this year there isn't really the opportunity to have a break because you know things are coming so quick. So you've got the Munster League that is starting now next Saturday, and then you're straight into the league and then straight into the championship. So look, you're putting a lot of pressure on the players, but you know they're well able for it.
Yeah, is the split season something you'd be in favour of, albeit with that condensed issues that you spoke about?
I think that you would there probably is merit in having more of a break for the players, and the split season in some counties works an awful lot better in that they run off their championship an awful lot quicker, whereas you know, just say for example now even Robin now this weekend is involved with Cora Finn in the Munster Intermediate Championship in the football there, so you know that obviously rules him out for us for the weekend. So there's, you know, I prefer to see the club championship more condensed than what it is at the moment. But I'm sure that if I'm thinking about that as a complaint, it's probably the same all over the country. And hopefully they'll do something about that.
Yeah, this Munster Cup, as it is, one game guaranteed. Hopefully, two, a chance for you, I suppose, to run the rule over the players because we won't feel the trip to Parkyqueeve.
Yeah, look, it's once it starts, it's coming along thick and fast. Like so it's an opportunity for us, and the game being at home in Ennis is great for us as well. Like so, we're looking forward to it.
Been as busy, I suppose, Brian, off the field as on it in recent weeks as well. And I know you were in the Woodstock tonight that the 5-year strategic plan committee presented their findings. Documents that you're feeling positive about?
Yeah, look, I was there that night, and you know the preparation and the work that went into that strategic review and the presentation on the night from all of the speakers was just it was super. It really was. You know, when you see the quality of people that are there and that they're, you know, willing to give their time and their expertise in whatever area that they were concentrating on. And then putting it all down on paper as in a document that we can use as a county going forward is brilliant to see. And you know, great to see Kieran going in there as chairman as well, and we'll be hoping it's very successful for him.
Yeah, there is a real sense, Brian, and I'm sure this is permeating into your squad as well now, of a line in the sand moment for Clare GAA. Nobody wants the spring that we had last year to you know be there again this year. A line in the sand now, moving on, and a real sense of positivity about everything that's happening.
Yeah, look, I suppose you can see that you know that there is good people that have, you know, put their hand up and they want to get involved and they want to work hard and devote time to Clare GAA and trying to improve things for the players and improve things for everyone, not just say the county senior team that I'm involved in, but you know at underage level as well and at all areas of the GAA, you know, whether it be in facilities or whether it be in the games themselves. Like you want to strive for the best all the time, and hopefully that will show itself going forward.
Clare Hurling boss Brian Lohan there. So looking ahead to the year that will be for the Clare Hurling team in 2022 with our analyst Tommy Guilfoyle. Tommy, hope springs eternal at the turn of every new year, and that seems to be the mood in Clare GAA at the minute, doesn't it?
It is, I think, and I think that's the way it should be, because I suppose, you know, as Limerick is All-Ireland champion, you know, people believe that they're you know, way and above the rest of the teams, but that remains to be seen. But in relation to the rest of them, you know, I think everyone will be just concentrating on their own preparations, their own plans, I think, and, you know, starting with the Munster League, you know, working through the league, but ultimately, you know, back to that red-hot round-robin of Munster Championship, I think that's where all the aims and ambitions will be, is in that Munster Championship round-robin group.
Yeah, how positive is it that format is back? Because it seemed to be something that really caught the public attention at the time.
Yeah, and again, look, I think it was a great success. You know, I mean, there was the worry about would it be dead rubbers and that, but you know, all the matches, you know, you have something to play for. You know, there were swings and roundabouts, teams lost, teams won. You know, but I mean, I think that's what players want. You know, one championship game and you're out. You know, two maybe you're out. Here now you have four quality matches in Munster. You know, so I mean, I think that's what all the training and the aiming will be for is those games, because they come up ticking fast. Yeah, you know, the league will be very competitive. I think you know, Clare will hope to consolidate their position. You know, they've been consistent in the last 2 years. You know. You know, getting to the final some 1 year, and you know, and finishing, you know, well up the group. So different teams in the group this year will add a bit more interest.
Yeah, I was just going to ask that. It seems a very, very competitive group. I mean, it looks like it's going to be a good test for championship.
Yeah, and I think that's what players want. That's what players and board management want. I suppose how they manage it. You know, with introducing new players, reintroducing players back into the panel that had been out for different reasons. You know, we're looking down the line at, you know, long-term injuries with Tony Kelly and Aidan McCarthy. You know, will they be back for championship? You know, Pat O'Connor, John Conlon. So, you know, that's all that they're going to have to manage. But I suppose, you know, in the short term, you know, we all know the challenging times that, you know, indeed the country and the population face. So, you know, for Brian Lohan and his team, it's a matter of, you know, doing as much work as he can now. And it's great that, you know, that they are able to play and to train, you know, rather than go into straight into a league with no preparation. So I think, you know, they'll be using this time wisely to gear up, as I said, with that aim of that Munster Championship.
And on that team, Tommy, like, this seems to hopefully be the first year, and it's amazing that it has taken until year three, that there will be something of an orthodox plan for Brian Lohan to go with in terms of how the year will pan out. Like, it has been just totally COVID affected up to now.
Yeah, let's hope, you know, for everyone's sake that, you know, that things go smoothly. And I suppose, look, I'd be optimistic that, you know, hopefully we can get over the hump of this outbreak of COVID at the moment, and that, you know, come February, the start of the league, that it won't be the talk, it'll be the, you know, the games, the performances, the wins, the losses, rather than COVID, because I suppose, you know, the people of the country, you know, and again, sport has played a massive, massive role. You know, as late as last Saturday, I was at the Harty Cup match down in Kilmallock, and the hunger and the want of games and matches by the public, never mind the players, you know, massive crowd from East Clare there to cheer on Tully in a great victory. And I think, you know, the Clare supporters, you know, once that league starts, you know, they have put their faith in Brian Lohan over the last 2 years. And again, as you said, you know, he had challenging times. So I think it's a case of, you know, everyone putting their shoulder to the wheel, rowing in behind. Hopefully, you know, the off-field activities will be in the dim past, and that, you know, it's all about hurling, football, you know, challenging for trophies and getting out there, what it should be all about.
Absolutely. And just on that team, Tommy, of the public buy-in and the public support that Lohan has got, like, that faith seems to have been repaid. Like, there seems to be an upward trajectory from the point that he was appointed until now. Like, the team have improved under him.
Oh, without a doubt. And again, you know, in trying circumstances and challenging circumstances, but you know, he hasn't complained. He has put his head down, and indeed all his management and the players. I think there's a trust and a bond and a loyalty between, you know, and it's spoken both ways, between management and the players. And I think, you know, Brian and his management team, you know, they've given a lot of guys their debuts. They've stuck by him, and those guys have really, really flourished. You know, when you think of Aver Quilligan, Rory Hayes, Ryan Taylor, you know, different players like that. He brought those in. And now they're, you know, they're up there, Aidan McCarthy's, Dermot Ryan's, they're up there now as being, you know, really, really regulars. I think, you know, what Brian and his management team will be looking for. Maybe not this year, but, you know, the new players that he's brought in, and he has brought in five or six, that they will bed in, you know, get used to the system and the setup. And, you know, hopefully maybe one or two of those may challenge for championship team this year, if not maybe hopefully next year. So, you know, with the added bonus that, you know, Shane O'Donnell is back, he missed the championship, Peter Duggan is back in training, you know, Pat O'Connor hopefully will be back. Shane Amore hasn't closed the door, you know, he may be available. So, you know, allied to the fact that, you know, he gave the players, you know, that performed in the championship, the Darren O'Briens, the Robin Mounseys, Crotty from Scariff, Bradley Higgins, Keane Broderick, he has given those a chance to come in. Unfortunately, some players have left the panel, but that's just the way inter-county goes. You know, it's a revolving door, and look at those players. Hopefully, you know, we'll get a chance, Munster League or whatever, so to put their hand up.
Yeah, hopefully two games in it. The first of those this weekend against Waterford team, who'll obviously be without the Ballygunner contingent, but still in all, Waterford will always present a good challenge. So a chance for those younger players, and even if you go back to last year, Tommy, like, Keane Galvin with that injury didn't see as much time as he would have liked, albeit having lined out above an Antrim that day. Shane Meehan had a couple of runs until, you know, he had the bit of misfortune as well. So, like, all that, those are guys you'd imagine are going to feature now early doors here.
Yeah, and I think the second season players, you know, Mark Rogers from Scariff, you know, Shane Meehan, Keane Galvin, Donnellan from Broadford, you know, they will hopefully, you know, have a year's experience, a year's S&C, a year's, you know, training at inter-county level. So hopefully they can push on, you know, and again, as I said, he has always had the door open for any new player that puts up his hand. You know, if he has confidence in him, he'll back him. It's not just play him in the Munster League and forget about him. The players he put his trust in throughout the Munster League, the National Hurling League, you know, come championship time, he stood by him. And I think that has flourished. And I think the other players see that, you know, so it's competition for places, you know, new players coming in. Fresh impetus, you know, puts challenge in. And I think that's what he'll want. He'll want the newer players or the second season players to really challenge what is considered to be the, you know, the established players, so there's competition for places.
Yeah, that maybe never so important, Tommy, is this year with the official split season. You know, the trip to Páirc Uí Chaoimh for that opener won't be felt. The next thing, there's Munster Championship at the end of April. So, you know, the squad is probably going to be tested an awful lot this year.
Yeah, and again, look at the Munster Championship like that. There's four matches in 5 weeks. You know, I mean, you're going to have to, you will get injuries. You may get suspension. You may get guys off form. So, you know, he'll be looking to build, you know, maybe a panel, you know, really, really top quality inter-county hurlers, maybe 21, 22 that he can call on any given day. And I think, you know, that will be their aim.
Tommy, thanks very much indeed for that. We'll have live commentary of Clare versus Waterford here on Clare FM tomorrow from 1:30 with our sponsors Matt Waters, Clare Fruit and Veg Market, and Geraghty Spar and off-licence Turnpike Ennis. We are back shortly. Now, you're welcome back to the show. It's time now for this week's Greyhound Focus with Alan Troy.
Clare FM's Greyhound Update in association with Greyhound Racing Ireland, because this runs deep.
A very good evening all, and welcome to this week's Greyhound Focus. Commencing with the fair from Galway Greyhound Stadium, Tremora Ange, owned by David Hogan from Quilty, had the distinction of being the first Clare winner of 2022 at the Sports Ground venue. In the fifth race of Saturday's card, Ange, a daughter of Droopy Sidney and Tremora Floss, prevailed by a neck in 29.42 in an A3 graded contest, and in the process recorded career win number 3. The Nugent family from Ballyea are enjoying the exploits of their Ballymac Best and Dynamic Cool Sky homebred litter. In race 6, an A5 graded 550 yards contest, Dynamic Diva, under the ownership of Kieran and Bridget Nugent, took the honours in 13.97 to land her second career success. And Martin Williams, who resides in Clooney, was smiling when his Clooney Dasher reached the winner's enclosure for a fourth time in her career, and in the process recorded a personal best when she landed the spoils in an A3 graded 550 yards trip in 30.56. Dasher is the daughter of Skywalker Puma and Craigmohar Susie, and is trained in Six Mile Bridge by Stephen Murray. After the winning exploits of Butsy's Bullet at Galway Greyhound Stadium last week, it was the turn of his little brother, Butsy's Best, to keep the winning streak going for the Shannon-based Butsy's Bucko Syndicate, which comprises of David Ryan, Ryan Hodge and Owen Collins, who were all delighted when their son of Ballymacbest and Kelly Kiltami notched career win number 6 in an impressive 30-21 for the 550 yards trip at Limerick Greyhound Stadium on Saturday last. Last Monday evening there was an extra night's racing at Galway Greyhound Stadium and it produced 2 clear winners. Breda Casey from Newmarket and Fergus was to the fore once again with her Snuggy Rosie, who broke smartly and led from trap to line to record a personal best of 29.40 in an A5 graded contest. Rosie is a daughter of Australian import Paddy's Magic and Miles Girl. Miss Rachel Murray from 6 Mile Bridge, in partnership with her boyfriend Sean O'Riordan, presented the prolific sprinter Dara Misty for an S4 contest. Misty didn't disappoint and displayed good early pace to cross the line in pole position in 1923. This was win number 9 for this daughter of Lockhill Blake and Play Misty for Me, who is under the stewardship of Rachel's dad, Stephen. Last night proved to be an excellent evening for the Clare Brigade at Limerick Greyhound Stadium, with 6 of the 12 races on the card coming to the Banner County. Getting the Banner Roar going was Rock Along Mikado for Donica McNamara from Tullagh, who matched his personal best, stopping the clock at 29.20 for an A3 graded contest. This was career win number 3 for this son of Droopy's Kane and Sue Stout. And now we go to Fenor, where the local publican Patrick O'Donoghue saw his John by Jack record his 4th career success and justified his 9-4 favourite tag to lead from the off to record 29.41. Jack is a son of Skywalker Puma and Ballistic Nina and is trained by O'Canahan Mills stalwart Donald Cooney. Upland Glynn, a son of Good News and Star Princess, is a very consistent performer for Cratlow's Harry Galvin, and he held on to win a graded A7 contest in 29.63 and in doing so recorded career win number 5. 2021 proved to be an excellent year at Limerick Greyhound Stadium from Innes Diamonds, Tom Flanagan, and 2022 looks as it will be as prolific. Tom recorded a quick-fire double with litter comrades Turn the Page and Dromoher Alice last night. These siblings are by Droopy's Buick and Flandy's Hawkeye. Owned by the Clare Abbey trio of Paul Keating, John Keane and Jim McHenry, Turn the Page took command on the home stretch to land career win number 6 in 29.18. No doubt there will be a celebratory pint or two drank at the halfway bar over the weekend by these syndicate members. And last week I mentioned that Dromoher Alice was a model of consistency, and this lady proved me correct again when she recorded her 3rd win on the trot to win an A2 graded contest in an eye-catching 28.95 for Tom. And the Port Ryan Kennels of Liam Carroll from Cratlow were in the winner's closure once again with Port Ryan Champ, who for the 7th time in his career beat off his competitors in a time of 29.33 in an A4 graded contest. Champ is a homebred son of Droopy's Kane and Port Ryan Queen. And as the 2022 season starts to get momentum, the first classic at headquarters Shelburne Park Greyhound Stadium, the Rossiach Conair and Traceability Systems Gold Cup, commences this Saturday night with 8 first round heats. Noel Herr from Ina has his charge Coolavanny Blaze donning the number 2 jacket in heat 3. And to note, the racing statistics from both Limerick and Greyhound Gradient Stadiums for 2021 can be viewed on their respective Facebook pages. Clare Greyhound owners and trainers feature prominently, and special mention must go to Fenor Storm, owned by the Kelly family from Mullock, who received the accolade of the top dog at Limerick with 11 race wins in 2021. Tom Flanagan from Innes Diamond was the top private trainer with 22 wins. And from the Galway Report, Kilmehel native John Collins, who runs his dogs under the Brickhill prefix, was the top owner with a remarkable 35 wins in the calendar year. And Stephen Murray from 6 Mile Bridge had the honour of being the top public trainer with 38 trained winners. And well done to all involved. That's it for this week, folks. Slán agus beannacht.
Clare FM's Greyhound Update, in association with Greyhound Racing Ireland. Because this runs deep.
Alan, thanks very much indeed for that. Now, delighted to be joined on the line by Chairman of the CDSL, Jason Ryan. Jason, thanks for taking the call this evening. I know we'll talk on-field stuff in just a little while, but I suppose like every organisation, the Clare District Soccer League, fundraising efforts ongoing, and you've a bit of an update for us.
Yeah, we have a bit of a fundraiser going on at the moment, a members draw. I know it's hard times for everyone at the moment about raising money, but this is an initiative to try to raise funds to develop the county ground and to provide help towards going courses for all the clubs around for first aid and PD1s and PD2s upwards. And in effort to that, we launched a members draw. We have advertised it on our Facebook page and our website. And any members and the committee members you can contact can be contacted for more information on the draw.
Yeah, just looking at the details here on the advertisement, as you mentioned on social media, tickets €100, the payout €1,000 pro rata. Is it 12 monthly draws then?
Yeah, 12 monthly draws. Well, there's 12 draws and €100 for the 12 months. The first draw we hope to get off in the next couple of weeks. And it'll be a bonus draw, and we're giving out 10 prizes in that. First prize will be 700, 500, 300, a €250 aisle voucher, and €100 as well, cash.
Yeah, and I just see in recent weeks as well on social media hopes that the women's side of the game is going to continue to evolve, and new teams, I think, on the horizon.
Yeah, we have a couple of new teams in this year, and we're the under-17s league went off for really well. It was a great league and cup and cup finals weekend there, and we have a senior league going on, ladies league and an under-19s league, as well as we're on the lookout for a manager for the inter-county senior ladies team.
That's a hugely positive development, isn't it?
Yeah, because we felt girls playing soccer when they got to their age, finished their age group, they had nothing else, and they got no chance to play inter-county soccer. So as I drive by our women's officer, Frankie Buck, I put the motion to Munster about an inter-women's league. So that's got up and going, so hopefully we'll have a manager in place in the next couple of weeks, and work will get underway there.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye on that, and we'll talk in more detail about that, I suppose, as it progresses. But good to get that information out there, that if, you know, for people that will be interested in getting involved in the management, or indeed players that want to continue wearing the Clare jersey, that opportunity will be there for them. Jason, I suppose next weekend as well, we'll see the return. I know the fixtures were announced on the website there in the last couple of days. League back underway again. The decision taken to postpone things just while, I suppose, those COVID cases were increasing. It was a safety decision, obviously. But thankfully now, you know, games will be back in action again, and we'll be hurtling towards the business end of the season.
Oh yeah. We have a full list of fixtures starting off next weekend now, starting from our under 17s league is kicking off next week, under 17s and 19s next week, and all junior fixtures next week as well as a round of one of the senior ladies league game as well that's been played. Yeah, full list of fixtures, and hopefully all will be good, and all the games we played next weekend, yeah.
Yeah, it's shaping up to be a cracking end to the season when you see the three teams that are kind of in contention at the minute for the title, and obviously Avenue and Ennistown are still on their FAI journey, and please God that'll go on for at least another couple of rounds for them. So a lot to be positive about at the moment.
Yeah. As you said, there we have Avenue and Ennistown in the FAI, and they have two tough trips to Dublin, and both teams are still in the Munster Junior Cup, and followed by Shannon Town A, we've three teams in the Munster Junior Cup as well. So they'll be flying the flag for Clare.
Yeah, we'll be keeping an eye on that in the coming weeks. Yeah. And finally, as you mentioned, Jason, to finish up, anybody that wants to get involved in this draw, then a case of contacting your local club or any county officer?
Yeah, contact your local club, any county officer, or be on the cdsl.ie website or the Clare District Soccer League Facebook page.
Jason, that's where we leave it. Thanks for that. As Jason said, head over to the social media channels or contact your local club if you want to get involved in that members draw for the CDSL. That's where we have to leave it for this evening's Sideline View. Loads to come over the weekend with those two live commentaries from Cusick Park and Mallow, and we'll be keeping you posted about all the rest of the weekend sporting action as it happens. Up next here on the West Wind, or is the West Wind on Clare FM, Owen O'Neill will be keeping you entertained with the best in traditional Irish music and song until 9 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your evening and I'll talk to you tomorrow.